We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started. With John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good, I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As Riley unloads deep to left field, there it is, number 30. A two-out moonshot. And Riley touches off another one against Luke Weaver. It's 2-0 Atlanta. Swing and a drive, hammered down the line. Did he keep it fair? Yes, he did. Another two-run home run, this time from Ozzie Albies. And the Braves add on. It's 4-0.
Jim Carrey on Bally Sports as the Braves knock off the Arizona Diamondbacks again late last night. 6-1, the final score in Phoenix, and the Braves hang on to that four-game lead in the loss column over the Philadelphia Phillies. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the first day of fall today.
It's fall, y'all.
It's fall, y'all. Yeah, the autumnal equinox, for those of you who want to break open the dictionary.
Equinox.
And, yeah. Welcome to the first day of fall. Feels a little bit like fall out there, Hugh. Going to be a little bit cool. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be really chilly. Tomorrow morning, you're going to need a coat. They say, I was looking at the, because I thought, well, fall. So I looked at it. I think the low tomorrow going into work when everybody's headed in, if you're in O'Dark, is like going to be in like the mid to upper 40s. It's like, okay.
Don't need any coats. We live in Atlanta. We don't need no coats.
Yeah. Occasionally we do. I mean, it is north.
You know, the last time I've actually worn a coat for an extended period of time? It's been about 7 years. For an extended period of time, because I wear that. I start out wearing one at the tailgate a couple times.
Uh-huh.
But then you take it off when the sun come up, you know, because it gets a little warm. So, yeah.
Yeah, like for a full day, yeah. Well, we haven't had really any, you know, I mean, there have been a few days of snow, but not much.
Remember that day it snowed and it melted in the afternoon?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it all, does that all the time, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had anything bad since probably, what, you know, that one all right, I'm going to knock on wood. I'm not going to talk about that. Let's move on here because I don't want to be, you know, jinxing anything. It is fall. It is the Braves. The dog days of summer are over. The Braves have a four-game lead in the loss column. Philadelphia last night. You know, look, you can't get mad at Baltimore. Baltimore's ahead. They scored in the top of the ninth inning to take a 2-1 lead. In the top of the 10th inning to take a 2-1 lead on the Phillies. They're set to beat the Phillies again in Philadelphia. The Phillies fought back.
And you know what's funny? I know Chip Kerr was giving us updates, but the best updates I got was the ones that we got from our man Abe Gordon, because Abe was like on top of it, like during the Braves game when they were he was giving updates, because he was fully invested. And I just thought that was kind of ironic, because if I do recall, not, you know, trying to, you know, bring up old stuff, but if I do recall, he was a guy that kind of checked out early on, I think when they were like seven games behind. And then, you know, for him, you know, and it was kind of late, too, last night, wasn't it, John Fricke? A little bit?
Well, like almost early this morning, you know.
Yeah, and he was sending tweets. All I'm saying is, I mean, it felt like he was invested to me. It just felt like he got back invested when he said he wasn't invested. So I'm just, you know, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, well, no.
He walked in.
To the degree that might be true, You know, I can't believe, you know, because a lot of
fans it was exciting. It was definitely exciting. It was definitely, and I get it. You know, it's just I'm a casual baseball fan, and I just find I get it. I find it, but I also find it fascinating how, you know, the ebb and flow of the season and the mood swings that baseball fans have. I mean, with 162 games, that's a lot of heartburn. A lot of heartburn.
Yeah, no, you have to be invested in it. No, it's a different mindset, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, John. I mean, and it's something that as long as I've been here, I haven't had a chance to like really grasp. But I get it, because you and Abe, you know, you guys are emotional about it when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, speaking of baseball, did you see Conor McGregor's first pitch?
I started to watch it, but I was like, why the hell Conor McGregor out there in a suit? I mean, what message is he trying to convey by wearing a suit to throw out a first pitch? And when I saw that, John, I kind of just checked out.
You know, I've never done that, so I can't really, you know, I mean, but he went full Fauci.
It's like throwing a pitch, you know, you got to be able to move around a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. but I guess he was trying to make a fashion statement. That's what I thought. And so when I saw that, I was like, man, I'm not watching this cat.
I've never thrown out the first pitch, so I can't say what it's like to be out there. You know, I know you're not on the rubber, but you're on the mound, and you got a lot of people looking at you, and if you're not used to doing it. But it just seems to me, you know, of course, I played baseball growing up my whole life. So, I mean, it's a little bit more natural to me than it is to a MMA fighter or, an infectious disease doctor or something like that. But it can't be that hard to you to throw the ball to the catcher. I mean, that's what we're talking
about
here.
It
kind
of is, John. I did it at spring training for the Phillies.
Right.
And it was funny, right, because I was thinking you just like people want you to throw a little bit of heat. They want to see some action. So I just kind of lobbed it in there, right, and everybody was like, oh, and then some little kid came behind me, and he threw a heater. And they were like, hey, John, I was embarrassed. I wanted a do-over. I was like, wait. I didn't know that it's a certain way you're supposed to do it. Like, people are looking at you to, like, put a little stank on it.
Yeah. So, right. It was a really bad pitch. Okay, he missed, as Bob Uecker said, just a little outside. He missed by about 20 feet. He missed home plate. Okay, he threw it into the backstop.
You have a newfound respect for when you talk about throwing 100 miles an hour pitch in a small area, and then being able, like, not only doing that, John, but then being able to locate that thing and mm-hmm. put it in certain places and paint the corners, you get a newfound respect for that, for real.
So we'll be talking about the Braves today and what your kind of confidence level is in the Braves and their ability to hang on. The Braves have 11 games on the schedule, 12 games when you include the pickup game they have to play in San Diego, and potentially 13 games because there is a rainout with the Colorado Rockies that kind of looms out there should they have to play it to break a tie. So the Braves have either 11, 12, or 13, depending on how you look at it. The Phillies have 11 games to go. The lead is 4 games in the loss column. So even though Philadelphia won last night, as long as the Braves keep winning, that magic number keeps going down. And so it's all you want to do. Just keep, you know, you don't have to really so much. It's nice if the Phillies lose right now. That would help.
But as long
really
as you take care of your business.
You just take care of your business right now. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, man. I mean, you know what? When you're in the playoff hunt, John, that's always everything. Take care of your business. Don't worry about what anybody's doing behind you. Just make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, the Braves have, you know, we said, you know, the Braves have been Dow Jonesy all year. Is this a time for them to get hot? Suddenly, you know, they beat San Francisco in the final game of that. That may turn out to be a pivotal win for them this year, that 3-0 win in the final game of that set in San Francisco. They've won the first two against Arizona. They'll send Ian Anderson to the mound tonight against the Diamondbacks. So hopefully they can get another win, and then they're going to turn around and play an afternoon game tomorrow. So if they can get even if they can split these two games, but boy, if they can get both going to San Diego, they're going to be.
Right.
I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. I mean, I really do. So, but we'll see. Because again, you're 4 up, and that would be a nice place to be 4 ahead in the loss column when you're coming home to face the Phillies in a 3-game set. That's kind of my goal right now. Is if you can be in a position, Hugh, where you could, in theory, get swept by Philadelphia and still be in first place, and then you play your final three against the Mets. That would be a good thing. It just affords you a little bit of wiggle room. That's all. I mean,
yeah, but you don't want to get swept because then you got the Mets. Because then the Mets might be trying to, you know, they might be.
Oh, they're going to come after you, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean. You don't want to put yourself in that position, thinking, oh, we got the Mets, and then the Mets come in and they trying to, you know, they like, well, damn it, if we ain't going, you definitely ain't going. You don't want that.
And to your point, the other part of that, of course, is you want to be hot going into the playoffs, and that's the antithesis.
Especially
of
when
hot.
You don't know, you know, you right. when you you know you're already talking about how you're potentially facing the Brewers, that might be a little bit of an issue. So
we got a lot to talk about with you with the Braves today. We're going to be talking about whether you think and your confidence level of whether the Braves can hang on to this. That'll be the, kind of the big talking point today. There's other headlines that we should probably just bring up to speed on this morning on the morning show with John and Hugh. Joseph Martinez, we're going to keep eye. There's some people thinking he might have an MRI. He left practice with a knee discomfort, so that's
yeah. He got a little banged up last week too. He kind of was limping, wasn't he? A little bit. Yeah. Okay.
So a little bit of concern there. We'll keep our eyes on that. Nothing yet. I mean, he just left practice with knee discomfort, and that's the last thing, of course, United needs right now. Falcons have signed a punter. Dustin Colquitt. I saw that. How old is Dustin Colquitt? Has been around for forever.
Man, the life of a punter, man. I wouldn't mind being a punter. I played, remember Nick Lowry. Look at me messing up his name, calling him Mike Lowry. Remember Nick Lowry?
Mm-hmm.
Kicked forever. Nick Lowry kicked with me with the Jets in my rookie year. He was like 40 then.
So yeah, like, yeah, right.
Like 60 now.
So they sign a punter, and John Brown is on their radar, the wide receiver. I got some thoughts about the Falcons here. We'll get into that too. The Braves are kind of the focal point right now, at least in the middle of the week, before we get towards United this weekend. We'll keep our eyes on the news today about Joseph, and hopefully cross your fingers. It's just a case where he just has to rest. It's all we want. And, the very latest on the Falcons is they get ready to head to New Jersey to face the Giants this weekend. Braves are going to be the topic that we talk about, though, so you Braves fans, you got to let us know what your confidence level is throughout the show today. Morning Mash is next as we work our way through the first day of fall with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Oren Romain back at the mothership with the morning match. Oren, what is up?
Oren.
Hold on 1 second here, guys.
Okay. We will hold on 1 second for Oren.
Hold on 1 second. Okay.
All right, there we go. Somebody had these headphones all the way up, so I had this very loud buzzing going on in my ear at the moment there. Yes, very, very pronounced
that?
Buzzing.
Man, the guys that are before you, the guys and gals, you know, they leave the headsets out, they mess up the AC.
AC's been working last week and change. We haven't had any air conditioning problems. I guess my
– God is good.
My public griping on air has – like, man, we could mess around and turn the AC low, or we could just leave it where it is and not have to hear Oren complain about it in the morning. So there you go. Small victories, he says with a smile in the very mildly, moderately temperatured Kia Studios control.
Yeah, you might
room,
want
yes.
the heat after a while, right?
Nah, man, because it gets toasty. Abe always talks about he sits under the vent, so Abe, I don't think, minds it if it's a little bit warmer. And Wendy's just different. Wendy's just different. Like, Wendy will bring – she'll bring a space heater in here in the summer just because of I don't know. She just
– She wouldn't make it up north. She wouldn't. She'd be in polo stuff.
She'd have to wear a jacket everywhere she went.
She'd be then froze to death. Mm-hmm. She'd be then froze to death.
Yeah, Wendy sickle.
Yeah, basically.
Wendy sickle.
Yeah, basically. You're right. But yeah, so everything other than that, everything is good, guys. Ready to start this mashup off with, let's start with a little, an update from a story that we did yesterday. We had Aaron Jones played a Monday night game and scored a touchdown. And in the midst of celebration, lost a football pin to the chain that he had around his neck in the Packers end zone, one of the end zones. And come to find out, that football contained the ashes of his deceased father. Aaron said that the pendant wasn't found. He was okay. He thinks his dad would be okay because if there was any place to lose a pendant or lose his father's ashes, his father would like it to be probably in the end zone
on
after
the football
score.
Field. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aaron Jones had a bit of an update yesterday with Steve Zabin talking about how there has been a resolution to the pendant story.
Right to the chase, though. Did you find your necklace? Did the grounds crew find your necklace?
So actually, our trainer, Brian Engel, Flea, he went out there and he found it.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank God.
Okay.
Thank God for Flea. Flea is the man.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean, you know, that's something that means a lot to him, and for them to find it and him not miss a beat, I mean, that's great. I mean, you know, you try to find some solace in the fact that, you know, it's on the field, but still, you still wanna have that back though. You still wanna have that back.
Yeah, I don't want to know how many people's ashes are on the field there in Green Bay.
A lot.
Good. Yeah, that's the way to think about it, John. I mean, I'm pretty sure it is. Everybody wants to be buried on the field.
Yep.
Boy, yeah.
You know.
Remember when Julio Jones lost that diamond earring?
Yep,
in Lake Lanier, and he never found it.
But that was like a $250,000 ring. I mean, it was something ridiculous.
It was an earring. It was a fat diamond. Yeah, nobody dove in there. I'm not diving in Lake Lanier to go find anything to begin with.
You know what? You mess around in Lake Lanier, you might not come back.
Yeah, you'd be fish food.
I don't understand that. I mean, let's not get off. I get off on the tangent when it comes to that, but I really don't understand the draw of Lake Lanier every year with his body count as high as it is. But anyway, I digress.
So, yeah, if you're going to lose, something, lose an earring, I would say it's better to lose it on a football field than it is to lose it in Lake Lanier.
Yeah, well, one time up at Chattanooga, you know, the lookouts, or you know the lookouts, right?
Yeah, lookouts, baseball.
So they
team.
Did this thing called a diamond dig. So they got like a $5,000, you know, whatever diamond from a local diamond dealer, and they did this big promotion where they were going to bury the diamond in the diamond, okay? And then after the game, the diamond dig, all the fans who came to the game would be able to dig up. It was the last game of the regular season. The diamond... You know, to find the diamond, and somebody would find this diamond and win, you know, the $5,000 diamond. And so they bury it in the diamond, and nobody finds it, and then they can't find it. It's buried.
They don't
somewhere.
Remember where they buried it.
Well, it was like 10 feet, you know, at a 90-degree angle off second base toward the shortstop, and they're digging around trying to find it. And what they figured out was when they drug the infield during the seventh inning stretch, when
they moved it.
It moved. And so they were, like, looking around for this diamond, you know, and I thought, why wouldn't you just, like, put a cubic zirconia out there and keep the real diamond?
And had a real diamond somewhere. Yeah, that would
be a representation of, hey, we'll give you this one after the fact. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
Smart money. Yeah, that's what smart money would do.
What's interesting, too, is that if I'm not – you were up there when they had the old stadium.
Yeah, that was Engel Stadium. Yeah,
Engels, yeah. So I wonder if they found the diamond before they demolished that stadium and built the new one.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a diamond under there.
We were out there.
If somebody found it, I wouldn't tell anybody.
I wouldn't tell anybody
either.
Diamond.
That's my diamond.
I'd probably tell my girlfriend. She probably wants the diamond.
You would have to tell
Memo,
her.
If you're going
to
do something like that, yeah, use cubic zirconia and then, you know. Yeah.
I know guys use the way cubic zirconia is when they play. Because they didn't want to lose their diamond.
Right.
But they still want to go out there and
look flashy.
And be flashy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely want to look flashy.
Got to let them know I'm out there, bro.
Hey, you see me. Look at me. Look at me. I was that guy.
Speaking of that guy, we're going to go to Chicago. Conor McGregor out there in Chicago threw out the first pitch yesterday before a Cubs game. It was horrible. He was going to be in infamy now with 50 Cent and – with Fitty and everybody else with just the worst first pitches in Major League Baseball history. His was not even, like, remotely on the diamond. It just went, like, it was a line drive that, thank God for the net.
It was a limp fish.
Oh, no, it wasn't a limp fish. This bad boy flew, was a seed. Yeah, good thing there was a net behind the plate, because if there wasn't, somebody would have gotten hit. Would have been bad. Later on, though, but usually when you throw out the first pitch, they let you hang around a little bit, and you get to sing – that old timeless classic, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And Chicago, what's a really big deal because Harry Carey did it back in the day, you know. It's a big deal to sing that song in Chicago. Conor McGregor did not do a very good job.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So let's root.
A little bit of both.
Cubbies, if they don't win, it's a shame.
What you going to do with the
one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
He is.
Let's go, Chicago!
It's just, it's all over the place, man. It's up, it's down, it's left, it's right. Like,
he's terrible.
There's a certain way to sing that song, and
he didn't do it right.
He didn't do it right, and I hate to be that dude to be picky, but
you're picky.
He ain't seen that song the right way. No, not at all, Conor McGregor.
I don't know if that was worse or the first pitch was worse. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, he was terrible.
His performances are running neck and neck.
What are you going to do, though? I mean, you criticize him. You know, you're going to have to fight, and that's the last thing you want to do because that he's pretty good at.
He will. Well, not just the fact that he's good at it. He will kind of not afraid to fight you. And then he'll. What was the? What was a couple years ago when he threw something at a bus?
Oh yeah,
he tried to fight a bus.
Yep,
he got a quick temper.
Yeah, Connor's not afraid to go out there and fight you. Or the guy who talked crap about him in the bar and Connor hit him in his own bar. Oh no, he owns that bar now. I'll take that back. Yeah, the bar that he hit the guy in, he owns that bar now. All right.
Yeah. Hey, listen. We can nitpick. I don't want to ever sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" at a game. Singing in public is something that I
wouldn't mind doing it if I've got a couple Jaeger bombs in me. Yeah,
a couple. Five, six, eight.
I'll sing. It ain't too much.
Just don't show me the videotape.
It ain't
afterwards.
Too much. Won't happen if you get if the liquor's flowing.
Abe last week looked at me and said that I sing more than anybody he's ever worked with ever before.
You do.
And
you always sing.
I'm always singing.
Well, but you can sing. There's a difference.
Yeah,
he did mention that, too. He's like, at least you can carry a tune. There's other folks who, if they did that, I'd ask them to stop.
I would definitely go. I would definitely sing. I don't mind embarrassing myself, though. I mean, I do it every day on this show, so it's kind of like.
Hey, there's going to be a group outing one day. Karaoke, guys. Live karaoke.
Hey, I'm with it. I'm down. I'm with live karaoke. I'm there. With bells on.
Man, I've never done karaoke. I'm definitely afraid to do it.
It's not that bad, John.
It's not. Like I said, John, you get a couple shots in you.
Yeah, get a little liquid courage, John Frick. You'd be good to go. Get a couple bottles of that Malbec, that balling-ass Malbec, John.
Baller-ass wines and cheese.
Get you some Spanish red in you, bro. You'd be good to go.
Get some cheeses. Get some baller-ass cheeses in you.
I just see Frick roll up to the bar at a like some dive bar.
Singing
yes.
a song from Transformers. You got the touch.
Frick rolling up to a bar. Just, hey, what Spanish reds do you have?
Spanish reds, that sounds hella fancy.
And took an we got red and we got white.
That sounds hella fancy.
Fricky, just quiet right now.
Yeah, right now I'm trying to figure out how to get out of this.
He's stuck on karaoke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I am stuck on karaoke. Fricky,
I will transition you out of this. How about that? Our last two cuts are going to be.
You know what
about
I should
here.
Do is I should probably just do Jay Giles Band, for those of you who remember the Jay Giles Band, because Jay Giles did
Free
not
swing.
Sing. Jay Giles did not sing. Jay Giles just talked. Yeah, he just talked. I mean, if you listen to any of their songs, Jay Giles didn't sing.
I'm going
to
sing
sung
the
on
two
Centerfold.
Live crew.
He sung the
go,
hook
I'm
on Centerfold.
Two live crew, yeah.
Okay. No, he didn't. Okay. There's just all talk.
My
Angel is a Centerfold. His backup guy sang.
That's him so singing, too.
Jay never sang.
He talked in tune.
He talked in tune, basically.
In any case. All right. Let me finish this out real quick. So I'm going to play these two cuts real quick here, guys. These are about hair. Aaron Rodgers admits to why he has long hair right now. And John Gruden also says people that make fun of Mark Davis's hair need to grow up. So here we go, guys.
You know, I have a month-ish until Halloween, and this has been a year in the making for my costume. I'm not going to give it away.
Wow.
But it's somebody who is a hero of mine who has, you know, long-ish hair.
Michael Myers. Thor.
Certainly, Mark Davis has taken his share of people making fun of him for the hair.
Well, I think that's a bunch of If you know Mark Davis, you like Mark Davis. And if you don't know Mark Davis, you can have your own opinion. But he kept swinging, he kept digging, he kept producing, and look where we are now.
So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers growing his hair out for a Halloween costume, and John Gruden says you should grow up if you want to make fun of Mark Davis.
Man, that dude got a floby haircut. Hey, much respect to Gru Dog, man, but come on, man. That dude has a flobie. He cuts his hair with a flobie. And if you don't know what a flobie is, look it up. That dude sit there and he takes.
Who, Mark Davis?
Yeah.
Now he cuts his hair with like an upside down, you know, mixing bowl.
He put a ball. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He put a ball on his head, a flobie, and just be like, hey. Dude, he looked like, what's the one of them? You remember the twin? What was the twins? The Swedish twins with the haircut. He looked like one of them, but he's too old for that.
And by the way, Aaron Rodgers,
Michael Myers,
wear a rig, get a wig, get a hair extensions. You okay? All right, lot to talk about with the Atlanta Braves. They win again last night, beating the Snakes 6-1. They are four up in the loss column with 11 or 12 or maybe 13 games to go. What's your confidence level that the Braves are going to be able to hang on? It's going to be a big topic today as we go through the show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and Odyssey.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Number 30. A two-out moonshot. And Riley touches off another one against Luke Weaver. It's 2-0 Atlanta.
You know, after the last, you know, last season and, you know, the way 2019 ended, you know, you kind of you have your doubts and stuff, but, you know, just to be able to, you know, put together, a pretty good season, you know, it's special.
Yeah, I would say a pretty good season. Austin Riley hitting 300. 30 home runs, 94 RBIs. Putting up those defensive plays that he puts up. Yeah, he's going to get votes for MVP. He's not going to win it, but he's going to get votes for MVP. That was, of course, Chip Carey on Bally Sports. The BetQL Network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Wagertainment for every fan, morning, noon, and night. One-stop shop for betting information. Sports betting tips for national experts. BetQL Network only on the Odyssey app. That's BetQL. And this morning, looking at it, the Falcons are 2.5-point underdogs on the road against the New York Giants this weekend.
What?
Yeah, they're 2.5-point underdogs against New York.
That's what they call terrible. That's terrible.
Up in New York, so or New Jersey, if you prefer here.
Jersey.
Back to the Braves here. You know, a question that we're going to be asking people to weigh in, fans to weigh in on here, Hugh. Will the Braves hang on? Are they going to go in the front door, the back door? They're going to hang on to this lead. They're four games up in the loss column. With some Phillies have 11 games to go. The Braves have like 11/12 games to go. Are the Braves going to hang on to this lead and win this division?
I think so. I think. It's going to be tough, and like I said, John, I think it's going to come down, definitely going to come down to, you know, the end. But I think that they hold on and they win it. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I think they do too. I just don't, you know, of course, it really, I guess, the only reason that being hot matters at the end of the year for the Braves, you know, whether they go in the front door or the back door, is that it's just going to give you a little bit more, like sort of like the Hawks, a little bit more belief that they can do some damage.
Momentum.
In the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, momentum. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you know, being a guy that's been in this situation before, it just feels better. It feels better knowing that you have a little bit of a hitting streak going. You have a rhythm instead of going in, like, you know, taking a couple of L's. You feel some kind of way about that. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, you can still, you know, handle your business, but it just feels a little bit better when you have a little bit of momentum going into it.
You know, and a lot of people are going to look, a lot of people being, you know, national people are going to look at the Braves and think, you know, you won the division with like 85 or 86 wins. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year that, you know, 85 or 86 would win a division?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah,
that's pat myself on the back.
You did say that. You said in the 80s.
I remember. Orrin said, "You got to be crazy." He didn't say it like that, but that's kind of how I want to portray him saying it.
Well, we thought it would be, potentially a three-team race, maybe even a four-team race.
Yeah, and we thought the Mets were going to be a lot better than they were. I mean, that's what it kind of, right. You know, and everybody said the Nationals will probably make a push as well.
Well, the Nationals quit, and the Mets just got injured. I mean, you can't lose DeGrom for that period of time. And I mean, he's just too critical to you. And, you know, and lose Syndergaard. And, I mean, the Mets basically just got all banged up. You know, they tried to. And then, of course, you know, their owner's out there screaming at him on the Twitter and all that kind
of
stuff.
You guys are terrible. What do you say? You guys stink.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, it went kind of sideways for the Mets. Mets haven't been mathematically eliminated yet, but they, I mean, they are. They're out. So don't worry about them. It's between the Braves and the Phillies here. And if the Braves win the division in a year, I would think, Hugh, that other people kind of look at it the other way. Look, the Braves, if they win a division, right, where in a year where they only win 85 or 86 games, where they don't have Mike Soroka for the whole year, where they don't have Ronald Acuna for half the year, where Marcelo Ozuna melted down after the first 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it was, and you don't have those guys in your lineup, and you're having to patchwork this thing together, you lose Mark Melancon, your closer, and you still win the division. They don't get you this year. That's got to be really frustrating to Phillies fans. We couldn't get them this year. They won 85 or something, and we couldn't get them.
And you know what else? Like, with all that being said, John, I think that's probably one of the reasons why, Austin Riley should be a strong candidate for MVP for everything that you just mentioned. The fact that, you know, he stepped up real big when the team needed him to, and the fact that Acuna's not playing, and he stepped up. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I think he should probably be a strong candidate for MVP.
Oh, yeah, but right. You and I agree on that. The national media is never going to – I mean, I'd be surprised if he's in the top six.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to have to deal with a little bit of name recognition. You know,
well,
no question
you know,
about that.
And just the general malaise and, you know, disdain for the Braves, which has always existed
the
among the writers.
And malaise.
Yeah, the writers
MVP
have always
last year?
Yeah.
Who won MVP last year?
Well, that was – yeah, well, Freddie, when a Brave does something like that, like Terry Pendleton wins the MVP or Freddie Freeman wins an MVP or anybody wins a Cy Young, it's like they have to win it by so far and away win it that they just – that you can't deny it to them, you know?
I mean, I think he'll do a lot better, John, because of simple fact. I mean, you know, all eyes are on the Braves already because of what they were able to accomplish last year in the shortened season. And the fact that they've had so many injuries and you know, they win it all. I mean, where they win the division. I think that's one of the main reasons why they're looking at the Braves.
Yeah, I don't see any of the Braves actually winning, you know, how high they finish in the voting, but there's no Braves going to win an award. Though Brian Snicker, for all of you who hate Brian Snicker, I wonder what it's going to be like. It'll be interesting. That'll be a question we may have to – once the Braves clinch, we may have to ask, you know, the opinion of the fans about Brian Snicker, because he takes so much of, abuse from the fans, and yet he's going to fashion a fourth straight NL East title. You know, well, he hadn't won it at all. Dude, he won a division. Again, I just went through it. You lost your closer, your number one starter, you're the number one player maybe in baseball – And you know, you're slugging left fielder, and you're trying to patch this together with how many outfielders? You know, I mean, they just reworked the lineup again. You know, they just redid it here coming out of the, you know, doldrums of San Francisco, and Brian Snicker went out there and flipped the lineup around. And suddenly he has, you know, Soler batting first, and Freddie's now up to second again, and Ozzie's batting third. I mean, he said, look, we got to do something. So he's doing a pretty darn good job of managing a team through some pretty, you know, choppy waters here. If he wins a division, doesn't he deserve some recognition, at least from his own fans? I don't know, Hugh.
Show me the baby.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody cares about the labor pains, John. You know that. I mean, especially when you talk about...
Isn't winning a division the baby?
No. Nah, winning a championship's the baby.
Well, that would be remarkable, given, you know, the constraints that have been placed on the Braves from a financial standpoint. Oh, speaking of that, there was a story. We're so locked in on getting Freddie, you know, in a deal. There was a story yesterday that I was reading, and it made a good point. Hello, Braves, you got to lock up Adam Duvall. And I went, yeah, they kind of do. You want to get that too? You know, Hugh, you got to get that done too.
Oh yeah, all of that. But I think Freddie's a priority though, John. I mean, this has been lingering for too long, and I don't know about you, but it's like to not hear nothing makes me nervous. When you heard so much, there was a whole lot of chat at the beginning of the season. Now there's nothing. That makes me nervous. That makes me feel like they're not even in the same ballpark, and they're trying to keep it quiet because, you know, he potentially is trying to leave. That's what that feels like to me. that feels like to me that there's a chance that Freddie Freeman might not be here. I'm not trying to start any rumors, anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, the fact that there we went from having a whole lot of conversation about getting a contract done to nothing. And then Alex Anthopoulos coming on here and stutter. You know how I feel about stuttering. Folks start stuttering. That mean they're lying. Not calling him a liar. But it was a whole lot that he wanted to say that he couldn't say. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that. You know, he said, hey, we want him to be here. You know, it's trigger words. It's certain words that trigger me. When he said, hey, we want Freddie to be here. He wants to be here. That ain't saying a whole lot. That to me says that the money ain't right. Somewhere the money ain't adding up. That's what that says to
me. Yeah, I'm not sure it's necessarily, you know, the per year. I'm going to guess you it's the length of the deal. I think it's more about the time. I think Freddie has made it clear he wants to spend the rest of his career in Atlanta. So I think he's probably going out there saying something like, look, I want 8 years. And the Braves are like, you know, we'll give you 5. And Freddie's now, I want 8. I'm just guessing they're stuck on the length. They might be able to settle at 6. But I think Freddie wants to retire here. He just, you know, he doesn't want to have to go through it. So, you know, if he's got to, you know, I think it's the length. I think, you know, money-wise, they can work that out. You know, how much it is per year. I think it's the length of the deal. That's just, by the way, total guess on my part, right?
Mine too.
Total guess on my part. I tell you what else is a bit of a guess. What's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons? Is this a must-win going to New Jersey? I know people get on me. It's in New Jersey, John. Going to face the Giants. Is it a must-win for the Falcons this Sunday? Already, in Week 3. We'll talk about that, ask that question, get Hugh's thoughts and your thoughts, too, as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.